Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to introduce you today to my friend Steve Murphy, Executive Director with Boys to Men Mentoring Phoenix. Hello.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you. This has been a long time coming, we said, off air before the on-air button came on. And I'm very tickled to have this opportunity to really get to know you better, hear about what you're up to, and really the community and the people that you serve and the difference that you're making. So if you could start by just simply telling us, like, who and what is Boys to Men?
So Boys to Men is an organization that actually came into being organically back in 96. A group of men in San Diego really became aware of middle school adolescent boys that were struggling. And so they kind of took a stand, and now fast forward to today, the organization has become men and women taking a stand for boys. We start at the 12-year age, seventh grade, and go up through high school. So we actually follow them into high school. But it's around the centuries-old tradition of it's the elders' responsibility to take a stand, to really watch out for the next generation. If the boys and the girls are going to survive, then we have to be sure that we kind of have their back and guide them on their journey to adulthood. So that's kind of how it got started. So there's about 12 centers around the United States.
That's a lot.
And the guys in San Diego now are serving, they are mentoring 1,000 boys a week in their program. So it's in San Diego, it's mature, and a lot of the rest of the centers around the country, they're, you know, just kind of getting started. But it's a powerful organization that really has just become very ground up organic in how it's developed.
So the word mentoring is really important, right? Because this is around adults mentoring these young kids.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about what does that look like and who are these mentors? Where do you find them?
You know, the work that we do is truly about, we ask kids, who's got your back? When something's going on in your life, you know, who do you go to? Who do you talk to? Who do you trust? And it's amazing how many of them don't have somebody. Or if they do, it's a brother rather than a father.
Who might be only 2 years older than them.
Exactly.
And maybe not making the right choices.
Exactly. Sometimes it's a brother that's 10 years older that has made a lot of wrong choices. And so they're the ones. But we really just basically show up with these kids and give them a different energy, a different space to understand more about who they are. It's a unique process, the model that was developed and has been perfected over the last 22 years.
So obviously there's a lot of different mentoring organizations out there, and I think several that are aimed at this age group and our boys. What makes you guys unique and different?
So as I said, we start at 12 years old, seventh grade, work up through 18. That's not unique, but a lot of the other mentoring organizations tend to be more academic or career driven. So we work with boys more around the idea of who's the man you want to be. Our attitude is if they can really find a grounded energy and a confidence and make better choices, then the academic and the career and all the other successes in their life will come. So if they're not stable and grounded and have confidence in themselves, or they don't feel like somebody's got their back and helping them guide them, then the academic and the rest of stuff is hard.
So I just got this image of our listeners going, yes, right? Because that's how I feel. I'm a teacher by trade. That's what I went to school for. I was an assistant principal, and I'm a parent. I've got 3 kids myself. Not always the easiest job. And part of this is going to sound crazy, but part of why I left education is because I knew I had a bigger place to play on behalf of the heart and the soul of humanity.
Wow.
And I felt academically, I was never a great student myself, but in the public school system, I was stuck in a box to cram all this academic, you know, these sweet teachers. Thank God for them, because they are trying to find that balance between teaching, getting them prepared for college and or a trade down the road, or business ownership, But also having to fill those gaps, the empty tummies and those who are alone or lonely or whatever, and try to build up that heart and that human spirit within this academic box. So I say yes, because I didn't realize that many of the other programs out there, and we're not making them wrong, right? But they tend to focus towards, how you're going to find your income someday, right? And how are you going to get to college if, again, you're the first person in your family who has the potential to do that, or the desire. So you guys are really around the whole child.
The main focus, and this is interesting because it's been brought to me. I love talking to people about what we do, because they really kind of goes back to what you talked about, the listeners. They all go, of course, it's fundamental. Why don't we do that? Mm-hmm. And so we're a little more on the preventative side, meaning we don't wait for them to drop out of school. We don't wait for them to get in trouble with drugs. We catch them at seventh grade, and we work. The program started as a rite of passage, kind of an outward bound type program. And it wasn't sustainable. We had a huge spike in impact, but long term, how do we know if we're making a difference? So to really be sure that it's tangible and that we actually are making an impact in the kids' lives and their families' lives, it's now a school-based or site-based mentoring. So we go to where the boys are rather than waiting for them to come to us. So we send three trained, background-checked men into middle schools and high schools, and the school selects the boys.
Brilliant.
And so it's who is it that you think is struggling, that if they had some support, that they would take advantage of it. And it really, the schools don't have these resources.
No.
It's more social emotional rather than academic. And so they don't have the resources. And so we go in, they pick the boys. So three men working with up to 12 to 15 boys. And we do group mentoring, or what we call sitting shoulder to shoulder. We sit in a big circle. We're all equal. We tell the boys, we're the men. We're going to kind of guide this, but we're no different than you. We're no special than you. We're not teachers. We're not standing at the front lecturing you. We're just dudes sitting around talking about life. And we start with, why do you think you're here? And who's the man you want to be? And we really just, it's a process of group mentoring that's combined with a counseling process known as motivational interviewing. And that is a guided process where it's kid focused and goal oriented, where you really just use a lot of questions. Who are you? Where are you going? Are the choices you're making consistent with the man you want to be? And we actually, I love the term PWLA, or the acronym, for people who like acronyms. Our two main acronyms are MALE. So we model healthy masculine. We accept the boys for where they are. We listen to them and we encourage them. So that's the male.
Yeah.
What we don't do, and this is hard, your listeners will be surprised. Men aren't good mentors out of the box, because we like to fix.
We're shocked.
I know, right? the ladies shocked. Always smile when I say
yes.
that. But what we don't do is fix, rescue, advise, or project.
And even that's the nature or the tendency, you've trained these mentors to hold that back and just be present heart to heart, or you said shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. It's a guided process rather than a directed
process.
The directed process is more of a counseling teaching. Mm-hmm. You're missing something. I have the answer. Let me help you find the answer. The guided process that we use through motivational interviewing combined with the group mentoring is we just ask a bunch of questions and we help them find it themselves. We help them find their inner resources. We help them get in touch with and understand their emotional literacy. These boys, when you talk about emotions, we always start the circle with a check-in. How you doing? What's going on? How you feel? And it's either happy or angry, because the boys know those are the only two that are acceptable. Fear, scared, shame. Oh, I'm not talking about that. So over time, sitting in a circle of men where we just guide them and ask questions, eventually the boys trust the men. And then where it really gets cool is the boys trust each other. I've heard the boys talk about, I've been going to school with you guys for a long time, but now I really trust you. I know you guys have my back. So then it becomes peer-based mentoring.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's not just the hour we spend a week during class time with them. They support each other around bullying issues that they see in the school. We had a high school where the boys were really upset that there was a guy picking on younger girls. And so they kind of came together and said, well, we're going to all keep an eye on this guy. And so if we see it, we're just going to kind of step around him and say, hey, man, that's not okay. So it's just amazing to watch these kids empower themselves. The adults aren't empowering them. They're finding their own way. They're finding their own confidence. And no judgment. You know, if a kid says something that's crazy, hey, I'm going to go steal a car after school. You know, most adults, they're used to the response they get.
Yeah.
We just kind of go, okay, so tell me more about that. I get that that's a rush, right? What else is going to happen if you do that? What other impacts? And eventually they'll find the answer of, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, my mom's going to have to take time off of work. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Hey, we're not going to judge it. You know, that's for you to decide. There's no shame, no judgment. You know, there's just you figure it out. Is that consistent with the man you want to be? Is that really who you are? And, you know, so if they make a mistake and they get kicked out of school or they get suspended, you know, okay, what happened? What'd you learn? You know, so they're used to it. It's pretty interesting because the boys aren't used to this. One of the things that we've learned, especially with men, let me take a step back. It's not by nature that, or by intention, but the boys we get, the boys we work with, that all the Boys to Men centers work with, profoundly are boys growing up without dads in their lives. Our statistics here with Boys to Men of Greater Phoenix is 70% of the kids that we have are growing up without dads. So statistically in Arizona, that 37% of all children in Arizona, based on the census, are growing up in single family households. And so that's a substantial number of kids. And so it's, we don't just focus on boys without dads, but typically most of them, that's where they're, you know, they don't have the guidance. Mm-hmm. I give moms credit. They're amazing. All the things they do, the single moms, but they can't be the dad too. And so, you know, that's where the, who's got your back? That's where the uncle, the grandfather, the brother, somebody's got to be there for these boys. And so that's kind of the role that we fill. We're just kind of getting started with it. We have a waiting list of schools that, you know, we're right now partnering with Kyrene. And so we're in two of their middle schools, and I get calls regularly from the other principals going, oh, we hear about the work you're doing. Can you bring the program to our school too?
Yay.
And we're just not there. We need the resources and the volunteers. So we've got some more work to do, but.
So let's talk from the school perspective, and shout out to Kyrene, right? We talked before we went on air, and I didn't realize that you guys were already in Kyrene, that's where my kids grew up and that's where I taught.
Mine too. My kids are all Kyrene
really?
Kids.
So yeah. I was the first assistant principal at Murata Elementary School.
Oh, okay.
And then my kids went on to Pueblo. In fact, just last night, I've got a 22-year-old, 24-year-old, and 11-year-old. Last night, we just did the online enrollment for Pueblo. So I'm getting, you know, sending cool. My last little one out of the nest of elementary school and on to middle school. So from a school perspective, other than referral and word of mouth, how does a school get involved? And then we'll talk about the volunteers, that kind of thing. But how do you start that relationship with a school?
Well, right now we partner with Kyrene School District. So that's the middle school impact. So we start in seventh grade. We'll do a seventh grade group and an eighth grade group. So we'll go into middle school and we'll do back to back, you know, an hour for one group and an hour for the second group. And the design is we then follow those boys into high school. So we're in the process. We're in our second year, or I should say our first full year with Kyrene, and we're beginning the relationship with Tempe Union High School. So those awesome. Boys, eighth grade, as they leave eighth grade, we want to follow them.
And that's a great introduction from, like, with this example, Kyrene is its own elementary school district,
right.
And then we've got Tempe Union. So I would have guessed that the call is easy to Tempe Union to say, hey, we're already nurturing and loving on these boys and helping them become men. And naturally, our program takes them through 12th grade. Here's how this works. So that is probably a great introduction. But what about the middle school where you're just trying to introduce yourself?
Well, it's right now at this point, we've been doing it for a while. We've got a high school. It's a little bit of a different venue, but we've actually been working for 3 years with a high school, a private school in Central Phoenix that is for kids on the autism spectrum. It was kind of unique how we fell into it. I had a principal call me and said, I really want you to bring this program to my school. And it's like, yeah, but that's not really our core kid. You know, these kids have two parents. These kids are straight A students. These kids are rule followers. But they struggle with social emotional issues. They struggle with bullying. They struggle with you know, connecting and understanding social signals. So another mentor and I, he said, let's do it. So we've been doing it for 3 years. The parents were very, very concerned. What do you know about working with kids with autism? And I said, you know what? We don't. And that's the whole point. We're not coming in with any predisposed ideas.
But here's the model. Here's
just,
what we do.
They're just boys. Yeah. Right? They're just boys. They're just, you know, we're going to help them, guide them. And so at the end of the first semester, we sat down with the parents and we said, so what do you notice that's different? And it was amazing. These parents were like, oh, man, my son looks me in the eye. He carries on conversations. You know, he asked me how I'm doing and I'll say, I'm good. And he says, no, Mom, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
So it's amazing. And since these boys, a lot of these boys have fathers, you know, the fathers, and this is not, we're not here to you know, be a substitute for anybody. But one of the dads, it was amazing because he was pretty much, he was very, he told me a year later, he said, you know, I didn't like this because my son has a father. But, you know, now he and I have a very good relationship and he's very, very appreciative of the things that, because, you know, it takes a village. You know, I can't always raise my kids. I need the other people in the community. I need the teachers and, mm-hmm. and the coaches to help me. And so that's kind of the way we feel it. So to answer your question, that's a little bit of a unique situation. The high schools are so strapped for time that it's a little harder to plug in because we're asking them to give us an hour a week mm-hmm. where they're taking kids out of an English class or out of a Spanish class. And dedicating that hour to this mentoring program. So it's a commitment from the parents, the kids, and the school. Mm-hmm. And in the high school schedule is so hard that it's a little bit easier. Middle school's easier. They've got open periods. They've got elective periods. But we're still trying to work all that stuff out. But, you know, it's being done all over the country.
Right.
And so, you know, now that we have the success in the Kyrene School District, you know, Kyrene basically can, you know, goes to the other school districts and says, hey, this thing works. We're mm-hmm. seeing a huge impact. So, you know, give it a shot.
Yes.
We measure, you know, this is the one thing about, you know, about nonprofits and doing good work. There's a lot of nonprofits out there doing good work. But we really focus on, well, how do we know if we're making an impact? We can pat ourselves on the back and go, look, the kid smiles, the kid has confidence. But what does that mean 5 years from
this?
Now?
Right? Yeah.
So we partner with the schools and the parents. They give us permission to track grades, to track behavioral issues. And, you know, being from Kyrene, you understand a lot of the middle schools and high schools, it's not just, you know, there's three or four levels of behavioral issues, you know, whether that's a full expulsion or just a timeout or whatever the school calls it. And so we track that. And then we also track attendance and tardies, you know, so just how are they doing just going through their day? Are they, you know, better plugged into the process and being more successful? So we can do the social emotional stuff, but you know, it really comes down to, but how does that show up every day in these kids' lives? So we track that and we, you know, pay attention to it. So how, you know, are we making a difference? And we talk to the kids about, you know, it's funny because middle school, the grades aren't quite as important, but high school, you know, they get it. You know,
well, right. And part of this mentorship and friendship that develops is that these men can help these boys understand, like, pay attention to your grades now, because when you get into high school, you're going to start caring.
Right.
And you want to start developing some of those skills now to get yourself prepared.
Yeah, we talked to them about don't close any doors. Yeah. You know, if you think that, yeah, high school's not for me or college isn't for me, but yeah, but then you might learn something down the road and you go, oh boy, you know, I wish I'd have done that. Well, don't close any doors.
Yeah.
Focus on school. They all get it. Yeah. They all get it that the grades are important and the direction of where they want to go, that they have to kind of get the education.
So you mentioned that schools, obviously, they're short on resources for helping support these kids outside of the classroom, the emotional wellness piece. Who's paying for your program to come into schools? Is the school paying for it? Are the parents paying for it? How does that all?
It's the model. This is the one thing that the guys in San Diego did when they started it. And for the most part, all the Boys to Men centers, they were all independent, okay. You know, but it's a very strong network and connection with the work itself. And again, if you think back to the comment about the centuries old model, that it's the adult's responsibility. So we don't charge the schools. We don't charge the kids.
Wow.
We don't charge the families. We're a community based,
wow,
kind of an organic organization. And we rely on community funding. We rely on volunteers from the community to help men to volunteer to become mentors. And so we have to do a lot of fundraising. We have to really be out there. The schools are very motivated because they realize what an asset when you look at three men for an hour a week times an entire school year, that's a massive resource to the schools. They get it. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you know, they'll introduce us to people. They'll do what they can to help us, but they're struggling with funding as well.
But that's important. So, it's a community-based program,
right.
But there's but we need resources and financial resources in addition to volunteers. So let's talk about the financial resources and how we can help. And then we'll talk about where you're getting your volunteers and these mentors. Businesses can donate. Individuals can donate. What are you doing for fundraising? Speak to us, our listeners, because obviously this is Business Radio X, right, where a lot of our folks are professional and curious and wanting to find ways to help.
So we're right now, because we've been a 501c3 in Arizona since the middle of 2015. I walked away from a corporate job. I've been doing this work 10 years.
As a mentor?
As a volunteer, as a mentor, doing this work. I've traveled to other parts. I've gone to different organizations and learned, what do you guys do? And so then I've started the organization as a 501c3 in 2015, but was working full-time in a corporate job. And so as a typical 100% volunteer organization, we had fits and starts. So I walked away from a corporate job and just decided that if I'm going to do it, I've got to do it. If we're going to make this work, we've really got to commit the resources to it. And I was the first one. I got to put my money where my mouth is. So we've been about 15 months into this thing. So because we're still fairly new, we apply for a lot of foundational grants. But most of our money comes from friends and family. Most of our money comes from some small corporate, some small family foundations. So we're still working to network with people, different organizations. We've got some men's organizations, networking groups, where they go, hey, we don't have a lot of money, but man, we like what you're doing. So we're going to write you a check. We'll help you out and we'll send you some volunteers. So it really does go back, Karen, to the community-based model. Mm-hmm. It's not a corporate thing. It takes everybody to step up, and so there's three different pieces. We do the school-based mentoring. That's the biggest commitment because it's an hour a week for an entire school year. Most of our volunteers are typically a little bit older in their career, so they've got a little more flexibility in their time, or they're self-employed or retired. The other thing we do is that we still do the weekend rites of passage. So we take the boys from the schools to this intensive transformational weekend, and then they come off that weekend with an idea of what's really going to make a difference in your life. And then we hold them accountable to that back at the school circle where they can kind of work on that. And then the third part is what we call adventure groups, where we meet in the park. We go kayaking. It's just men and boys having fun. So if their kids aren't in the school, we can still take boys from the community to the rite of passage and to the adventure group. So it's most of what we do is just school-based. Mm-hmm. But the only real hard cost that we have is the rite of passage, because there's a significant cost to rent a site and do all that type stuff.
Well, and not to mention the administrative part of running a nonprofit.
Correct.
Right? I mean, I'm hearing you say that all the resources are going into these boys.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you still got to have a program.
Absolutely.
and all the pieces that go into running a business, because nonprofits, let's face it, they're businesses. They have to be. Otherwise, we don't know about the great work that you're doing.
Well, and it's I think the best definition is, that people out there, people like us, do things like this. And so, if I could, I'd be doing what you're doing, but I can't. I don't have the time, but I have the resources. I either can volunteer or I can send you a check. Mm-hmm. But I believe in what you're doing, and I'd be doing it if I could, because it's just the right thing to do. So that's kind of where we really try to connect with people. So it's our fundraising is getting started from a more sophistication standpoint. We do a lot. We do have a grant writer that helps us try to go after some of the larger foundational grants. But it really, right now, it really is just friends and families and donations through the website and any kind of corporate donations. We are moving towards. It takes about $6,000 per school circle.
Okay.
So we're beginning to speak with companies and businesses and corporations saying, hey, will you sponsor
a
school?
Circle. Right. Yeah.
So it really, it just helps. And that's where the school districts know they don't have the funding for it. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to find out some of their supporters. Hey, this is a program that works. This is a program we want to grow and keep in the schools group.
Smart.
So, will you help us? So that's kind of where we're working now in 2019, is doing some more corporate sponsorships on top of the friends and family donations and the foundational grants.
Sponsors, whether they're individual donors, families, or corporations, they want to know where their money is going. They want to have a relationship with that gift and that donation. So it's perfect, right? That you can speak to them in that language. Listen, that $6,000 or whatever you're giving, that's going to go to this group. this school, these boys.
Right.
People, I mean, we want to be involved in the story. We want to be involved in the success. So that's great.
Yeah, it gives the people a chance to get involved.
Yes.
And it's not just a feel good thing. I mean, it's, you know, from a mentoring standpoint, it's, yeah, we're hanging out with boys and, you know, we're the men in their lives guiding them on their journey to mm-hmm. becoming good men. But it's tangible. We measure the outcome. You know, we're really into, are we making a difference? So that's why we track the grades. We talk to the parents. We try to get testimonials from the parents. You know, what are you seeing? You know, we see it. It's funny because sometimes we go, I don't think we're making a difference with these boys. And then we'll run into a parent or a teacher and go, holy smokes, let me tell you. We had a principal the other day that said, let me tell you about this kid. You know, the difference he is today versus 3 months ago.
Yeah, even when you guys started, just 3 months.
Right. You know, they're looking me in the eye. They're carrying on a conversation where before they just be disrespectful and walk away from me. So it's just, you know, it is a process. That's what I said. We start in 12th and 7th grade, and it's not a quick fix. That's
well, and
thing.
That's why you can't just do those intensive weekends and right. and let that be the program itself. So I'm a certified integrative coach professional, and it's a 3-day shadow process intensive is kind of how I got introduced to this community. And like any event that you go to that's, you know, motivational or we're going to change your life or whatever that is. And I,
right.
By the way, I'm not saying that with sarcasm other than that's how I've grown so much in my life. I've paid the money. I've spent the time. I've
right.
done it. But the fizzle, or excuse me, it fizzles and the motivation, that connection to self dies once Monday morning shows up again, oftentimes, right? And so we've got to stay in contact with people who are going to hold us accountable, who are going to remind us of the skill set that we've learned, because it's like a new pair of shoes. They may not fit right away. So I love that Boys to Men has made over the years this commitment to, again, not only the whole boy and the whole man, but also the longevity of staying in their life long enough to see it through to success.
We get a lot of boys, and this is something that we're very conscious of. We get a boy coming off the weekend. He discovers things in his life. He discovers, you know, he starts talking about, you know, the incarceration, my brother's in prison, my dad's in prison, or the violence or drug addiction that's in the house. And you know, the kids that watch the violence, you know, between their parents. If we just kind of give them some tools and talk to them about the man they want to be, you know, these kids go right back to that environment. So without the support, you know, truly, without somebody that's got their back, where they know, hey, you know, at least every week I get to sit in the school circle, or I get to meet the guys in the park, and you know, I got a place to talk, I got a place to be real, I got a place to get support, and we don't judge anybody. That's the big thing. You know, we're not. You know, sometimes the parents get nervous. Well, what are they going to say about me? That's not what it's about. You know, one of the things that we do that the boys that is a we have to do it is it's confidentiality. We tell the boys, we're not here to, you know, to talk to your parents and to talk to the police or the school, you know, the resource officer at school or the teachers. You know, what you say here stays here, unless it's a mandatory reporting issue, and then we're going to be sure you're safe. But it really is to a point where these kids don't have anything like that in their lives. And so to give them this space to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, but, you know, dude, we're going to challenge your stories, your attitudes, and your choices, but you're okay. So let's see where this goes from here.
That's really important. That you're okay, right? Now, who you are, because if they don't feel that trust, it's that trust factor again, right?
Right.
If you can't accept me for who I am right now in this moment, how can I actually trust you to take me to a place that it's not even imaginable for me right now?
It's interesting because I'm also part of the men's community, and it's men tell, you know, when they get in and they start getting real, they talk about, I don't trust other men because men compete with each other. The boys are the same way. They don't, they tell us. You know, men don't do what they say they're going to do. They don't stick around. I can't trust men. So when men sit in a circle with them and they just listen and encourage and really say, you know what, dude, you're okay. So, you know, and the kid says something that usually he's, you know, typically the people, they get a reaction from, you know, hey, I got expelled, or hey, you know, something happened, something traumatic happened. Somebody, you know, my brother died or something, you know, and we just sit there and hold space for him and say, you know, how you doing, man? Tell us more about that. You know, how can we support
it,
you?
Not right? Directing it, just being present and listening.
So it's a guided process, and that's the thing. We talk to them about sitting shoulder to shoulder. That's why we sit in a big circle of chairs, and we just, you know, there's no leader, there's nobody's leading this group. We're all equal, and we're just sitting here doing. We tell the boys, this is men's work, and men's work is hard, and you know what? And we screw up, But as men, we learn and we hold ourselves accountable and we clean it up when we screw it up. So, you know, we don't do everything perfect. No man does everything perfect. No person does everything perfect. That's not what it's about. It's about being real and being accountable and being responsible. And when a kid's 12, that's hard for them to wrap their head around.
Right.
But if we start that conversation at 12 and stay with them 13, 14, you know, all the way up through 18, then we can have an impact.
Yeah.
Then they can, they got to start understanding cause and effect. And, oh, okay, I am the one making or not making this, the things happen in my life.
Love it. You mentioned early on in our conversation that the mentors, the volunteers are background checked. So if there's any more to speak to about that, speak to that. And also talk about, you know, where your volunteers coming from and what's the commitment for training? Because there is a process, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we most of our volunteers, not all, but most of our volunteers are men that didn't grow up with a man in their life. So they get it.
Yeah.
They get how could my life have been different if I had somebody that I could count on? So they have a lot of passion and commitment around that. So we put them through an all-day training, which is just – basically understanding the motivational interview process, understanding that you're listening, you're encouraging, you're not fixing, you know, it's not a top down, it's shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. And so it takes a while. So we have different levels of volunteers. We have a lead facilitator that's responsible for every school. They're the ones that are a little bit more experienced and they kind of guide the other guys. That's the beauty of the process that we do with group mentoring. It doesn't fall on one person to do all the work. And the lead facilitator supports not only the boys, but he supports the other volunteers and guides them. And hey, you know, when you said this, maybe try that. You know, remember, were you aware you went into advice? Oh yeah, you're right. I did. Okay. No judgment. Just be aware of it next time. You know, we don't give advice. We don't coach. We listen. We encourage. We use questions. So we do an all day training, which is a mentor facilitation one. This is kind of the beginning of it. And then we'll, you know, put them through a mentor facilitation training two, which is a little bit deeper process as they get better. But, and then we also do, the big issue for us in Maricopa County, 75% of the boys we deal with are boys of color. Our organization by nature, we're 90% a bunch of, you know, over 50 white dudes. And we're trying to change that.
Right. And more than ever, that's not the greatest badge to be wearing overall, right? I mean, we just have this whole new element, which I'm very prayerful about, that everything, this whole Me Too movement and this whole, hey, us against them kind of thing, it has to be palatable in order for change to come. But when we're talking about wanting to influence, I think people just get closed in. So how can we help you change the demographic about your volunteers?
So we definitely are looking for, you know, we're heavy African-American boys, Hispanic boys, and then there's a little smaller percentage that are Native American just because of the population in Maricopa
Sure.
County. So we need men all the above, you know, and we don't really, you know, we don't pick and choose, you know, there are some men that we actually ask them to leave because they can't get beyond the advice giving. Mm-hmm. They want to fix. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for men that really have some passion, that are interested in working with kids, with giving back, that have some time. If you're in a school circle, that's the biggest requirement. That's an hour a week for an entire school year. You know, so it's basically we talk about 2 hours because you got a half hour drive time either way.
Sure.
So you've got to have the flexibility. The weekend rites of passage, we're looking for men that'll help volunteer. You know, that's just a weekend. That's a 3-day weekend to commit to take the boys and do that. And then the adventure groups are 2 hours twice a month. We go every 2 weeks. We'll do something. We'll go hiking. We'll just go to a park and throw a football around. So there's a good menu of volunteer options that are out there.
Options. As I was listening, I was thinking, wow, does somebody need to be at all of those things? But you could pick and choose. Like I wouldn't have to commit.
It's a menu.
It's a menu. That's great.
Right.
And right.
So boys2menphoenix.org is our website, and they're all laid out as to the three programs, site-based or school-based mentoring, the rite of passage weekends, or what we call a mountain adventure, and then the adventure groups. So they're all kind of laid out as to what's there, how we work, and then, you know, they can either make a donation or they can connect with us, and you know, our staff will follow up with them.
Wonderful. Wow. So much information, and obviously such needed work and such needed commitment. I'm curious about your story You said you've been doing this kind of volunteering and mentoring for 10 years now.
Correct.
And had a full career, a very lucrative and exciting career in sales.
Sales, yeah. I've been in sales and marketing in the building products industry for forever. I'm actually third generation Arizona. My grandfather was a mayor of Phoenix back in the 50s, so I've been around a while.
Really?
But I chased a corporate job around the United States for 15 years.
But you're an ASU graduate, I think I remember seeing.
ASU graduate.
In marketing.
Yep. And I'm also an artichoke graduate, Scottsdale College.
I was looking for it, but I knew artichokes. My son went to Scottsdale for a little bit. So how does a guy like you be drawn to volunteering and then stay with it long enough? How does it speak to your heart individually?
I'm a little different because my parents have been married 63 years. I grew up with my dad in my life. I'm the youngest of four. But it was just, I'm a man of service. That's kind of how I'm wired. And 10 years ago, there was a group of men. There's a Boys to Men Center up in Yavapai County, up in Prescott. A guy called me, goes, "Hey, a bunch of men are going out to the woods to do this rite of passage thing. You want to help?" And I went, "Well, okay, that sounds cool." And after I saw the impact to the boys and the need, and then I brought that back to Phoenix and realized, holy smokes, the need in Maricopa County is three times what it is in Yavapai. So that's just where I said, okay, we started taking boys from Phoenix up there. So that's just kind of how it was, just truly a right time, right place. You know, I think spirit guided it. And the more I got into it, the more I thought, this is what's important. Building products are important and, you know, having college funds and all that kind of stuff. But I'm at that point now where my kids are grown and, you know, I've got six grandkids. And so, you know, I'm at that point in my life where it's like, okay, it's time to do something that really matters. And, you know, and, from a preventative standpoint, if we in the community, men and women, take a stand and show up for these kids, you know, it's not a handout. This is an opportunity to change generations, you know, because the boys talk about, you know, when we talk about who's the man you want to be, a lot of times it's not the role model of their father, because their father was a drunk or their father was not there for them. So they a lot of times they'll say, "I know what not to do. My dad showed me what not to do.
But I don't have a clue how to do this other thing."
Right. So our goal is to really help them, guide them to the point that they will become good fathers, that they will become good brothers, good, you know, parents, good partners in marriage or whatever they are. So we're trying to change the path. You know, when you look at statistically, boys growing up without dads are 20 times as likely to be incarcerated. The statistics of men behind bars, it's a vast majority of the men that are in jail grew up without dads in their lives. The kids are two times more likely to either commit suicide or to get involved with drug addiction. So statistically, you know, the boys are disconnecting. They're really kind of lost. And I'll take a minute because we do get people go, "Well, what about the girls?" And the girls are important because those, you know, the 37% in Arizona that are growing up without dads includes girls too.
Okay.
But statistically, it's the boys are the ones. ABC 15 News just in the last 2 months was reporting about the suicide rate in Maricopa County. And they reported that in the last 2 years, 80 kids, school-age kids, have committed suicide. Of that group, 90% of them are boys.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know, the girls are struggling too, but they have a different support level than the boys do. The boys tend to just disconnect, isolate, and they get lost. And then they just get to the point where they don't know, they don't have the tools. They don't know, well, what do I do? Nobody cares. And that's when they bring that energy, the anger into school, and then they disrupt the school. They disrupt the classroom. And so, you know, we're really trying to just make a shift to that. And, you know, it's no magic, you know, but it's not like the one-time weekend thing. It really is. It's an overtime process. Mm-hmm. It's like going to the gym. You don't do it once and you're done.
Right.
You have to do it on a regular basis. You have
to
foster the growth and foster the development.
Well, that's how we change at a cellular level when it's repetitive and we begin to tell ourselves a different story, right? We need to have that repetition, the accountability, that ongoing conversation so that we begin to become what we hope to become. And to your point earlier about some of these kids, how would they even know what's possible for them if they haven't had those role models in their lives?
And when we ask the kid, what's going to be different in your life compared to the life you have now? You know, sometimes they say nothing, you know, and I know that, but your brother's in prison. Really? Okay. No judgment. But a lot of the kids will go, yeah, I know, you know, I want to go to college. You know, I'll be the first one in my family to graduate from college. So that we really try to help them. We don't tell them what their goals are, what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And we just try to help them from that standpoint. Yeah. So, you know, you asked the question about my story. I'm just having a ball. And I get to do this. This is mission work for me. This makes a difference. And the cool thing is there's not one time I haven't told people what we do. You know, nobody says, wait, I don't get it.
Right.
Why do you do
so
that?
So easy to get.
Right. You get into it, and it's amazing. That's where we need men and women, because the men get it. The women do it. The women go, absolutely, let's go. Come on. We should have been doing this last week. Mm-hmm. And so the women really get it, whether they're moms or not. You know, I've had moms that don't have sons that say, well, my daughter needs somebody to be in a healthy relationship with. So you're right. We've got to take care of the boys so that, you know, the long-term health of our society is better, you know? So there's no magic pill, but it's just, we're having fun doing what we're doing. And we'd love to have a lot more people join us because we have a waiting list of schools. The need is far greater than what the resources we have to support.
Well, hopefully we'll get to help you do that. My mind is racing with introductions in all different facets of what you're looking for. I want to share a story because I think it's appropriate here. I used to run mother-daughter weekend intensive retreats. That's part of what I had always longed to do. And they were very successful and helping moms and daughters, you know, really get to have a better conversation with each other at that tween age. And one of the guys that I worked with who helped me with some of the marketing with this was just genius. And I didn't have a marketing background. I was an educator. But he had me start to look at the conversation and around how much money we spend on weddings. It just stuck with me, and it speaks to what we're talking about here. That you know, we as a society put so much money into the wedding ceremony, right? The dress, the cake, the venue, the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, and the party favor. I mean, like whatever we're talking about. You know, I know my wedding was way over budget, and that was back in my first wedding. But anyway, back in the early 90s, you know, $25,000 is probably a very modest wedding today, on up to the hundreds of thousands. And this marketing coach for me said to me, look, what you're doing with these mothers and daughters, and Steve, what you're doing with helping these boys become men that they can be proud of and shift legacy. And we're talking only talks about $6,000, you know, for helping a circle like this and right. A community like this. But if we can put that kind of money into a wedding cake or a dress or a ceremony, why wouldn't we put it way over here in the beginning of this relationship, which is with self, right? Let alone the boyfriend-girlfriend thing, but self. Why wouldn't we put that $6,000 or that $100,000 into helping us become whole individuals, whole beings? And when I started speaking to what I was doing for mothers and daughter relationships, with that story, I got it at a whole different level.
Right.
Right? Because, so it isn't about money, people. That's the point of the story. It isn't about the money because you're going to go spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a wedding, by the way, that isn't likely going to last because you haven't prepared your child or children on how to have a relationship with themselves first, and secondly, the person they're going to marry.
Well, in our situation, you look at the opioid addiction, you look at suicide, you look at the societal impact if we don't do this.
Yes.
It's 10 times, 100 times the cost to clean up the mess afterwards.
For all of us.
There's a Frederick Douglass, the quote that we use a lot is on most of the boys have that on their website. It's easier to build healthy children than to fix broken men. If we do the work up front, if the community shows up front, and really, again, the centuries-old idea that, hey, we got to watch out for the next generation if society is going to survive. If we don't, the tribe, you know, the group, the village won't work. You know, there's an African proverb that if you don't initiate, if you don't support the kids, they'll burn down the village just to feel the heat. So, of course, why don't we show up and just you know, not to lecture. And a lot of the mentoring organizations, and they all do good work, they want to coach. They want to fix. I burned my hand on the stove, so sit down and shut up, and I'll tell you what not to do. We all, as kids, think about when you were 13. How many parents and adults were in your face telling you what to do, how to do, why to do? Did it work?
Oh, I'm thinking about my poor 11-year-old child, and he gets that kind of coaching and teaching from my husband and myself all the time. And you know, I mean, he's a good kid, but he shuts us off. He's done listening. Yeah, it doesn't work great.
Yeah, there's another mentoring organization that they talk about teenagers. And when they get to that 12, 13, it's, you know, I love you, Mom, but I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially between boys and their mother, that 13 to 15 is a, you know, I'm trying to figure out who I am. So get away from me. Don't leave me. Get away from me. Don't leave me. And so there's that struggle. And so if there's not some place for them to deal with that struggle, you know, if there's not a man in their life, if there's not an uncle or a grandfather or somebody that they can trust and that they can really talk to and be real with. We talk about, you know, the vulnerability. Kids break down, not always, but they'll break down and they'll start crying about something going on in their life.
And I'm willing to bet they don't know how to handle, they don't right. know what that's supposed to feel like, because there's probably someone in their life telling them, don't cry. Don't cry.
They instantly stop try to crying. Shut it down. And yeah. we just say, hey, man, your tears are welcome. Thanks for being real.
And here, so I know that, you know, the target group of kids that you're working with typically is kids without fathers. And for the boys that do have men in their life, fantastic. That's great. And I can even say from my own life's perspective, I have a 24-year-old son, a 22-year-old daughter, an 11-year-old son, and he has a great stepfather. At my 24-year-old, and a great father, and two great grandfathers, and this beautiful circle of men around him. And guess what? He still struggles. But right, many of us do. So this shoulder-to-shoulder, being in listening and knowing how to ask these leading questions, what'd you call the process, an interview?
Motivational interviewing
is really something that we can all benefit from. Because even though, you know, my kids know that they're loved, you know, we've also made our share of mistakes and aren't always the greatest listeners.
We've had dads that will talk about, the boy will talk about how much, more than anything, he just wants a relationship with his dad. And I'll talk to the dad and the dad will say, you know, he just drives me crazy. All he wants is me to pay for everything. And I just look at the dad and go, just hang out. Just sit with him for a while. Ask him some questions. You know, the big thing with motivational interviewing, which is important, we really talk to the mentors about 99% of what comes out of your mouth needs to have a question mark at the end of it. We're not telling, we're asking. So tell me more about that. Wow, I really see how that impacts you. So how do you feel? Where do you go from here? You know, we do a interesting process that's actually cool. Once the boys have been a little more experienced with it, we let them run the circle. We let them guide it. And so it's pretty simple. We do what, now what, or net what, so what, now what. So the what is, okay, what happened? Okay, my brother beat me up this morning. Okay, so what? Tell me how that impacted you. What is the impact to you? How do you feel? You know, what went on? More of the story and the detail. And then the now what is, okay, now what? From this place, cool. Thank you. Where do you go from here? And what support do you need? That's the one thing we always kind of end up in the circle. What support do you need from the guys in the circle? You know, and sometimes they don't know what to do and say, hey, you know, I bet you your brothers in the circle have gone through that same thing. Why don't you ask them? Maybe they got an idea. And it's much better coming from the boys, again, peer-based mentoring, than it is coming from the men. And so we really, really empower the boys. And, you know, we'll in the high school groups with a little more maturity, we'll ask them, okay, you pick a topic and you run the questions. You see, you know, you guide the conversation. So it just allows them also to gain more confidence in themselves and really to that point of, hey, you know what? I got this. You know, life's hard, but I'll figure it out. And that's kind of where we just guide them from that standpoint of, you know, you're okay. You know, but you got to really challenge yourself on the choices, you know, is what you did isn't wrong, but let's talk about the impact to you. Let's talk about the impact of the people around you. And let's talk about what you're going to do next time.
Everything that you're sharing has me thinking about the importance of communication and how, regardless of what path these boys take, whether it's a trade, it's you know, a professional career, white collar, blue collar, I mean, who cares? Becoming a father, being single, it doesn't matter. Communication is key. And the skill set that you're giving them for any walk of life that they choose. And again, you're not choosing it for them because it's not about that. But what a great gift, because so many of our youth, especially now that we're all heads down in our phone and, right. and we can get away with having a conversation via text or some sort of gaming device, you're helping these kids stay, you know, again, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, eyeball to eyeball, and giving them the tools to have those conversations and be present. Amazing. We have a couple minutes left here, so I want to make sure that we speak to really what the need is and how we as a Metro Phoenix community and state of Arizona can help you. What is your vision for the kind of impact that you can have on Greater Phoenix?
Well, as we talked about, if you look at the 37% of kids growing up without dads, that's roughly from a headcount standpoint between 600,000 and 700,000 kids, and so that are growing up without dads. So, you know, our goal, the kind of the underlying goal of Boys to Men is to have a Boys to Men program in every school in Maricopa County. You know, San Diego's been doing it for 22 years. They really got into the school-based work about 10 years ago. So the long-term potential, they're dealing with 1,000 boys a week. Right now, we're under 100 boys a week. Our plan for this, for 2019 is 80% growth.
Okay.
So we're going into new schools. We're growing. Again, we're following the middle schoolers into high school. So we really have that. Just trying to grow the resources. It's important for us, though, that we don't, you know, because I said the boys know that they can't trust men. So if we say we're going to be there, then we got to be sure we're there. So if we set up a program, we got to be sure we have the resources and the funding and the men, the volunteers, to be sure that that program stats. And it's not just men. We have the same three men sitting with the same boys for an entire school year. So it's not just a rotation of men coming in. There's a connection.
That's how you build that trust, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I got to know it's going to be you each and every time.
And the boys get to know the men's background. They get to know the men's story. They get to know, hey, I grew up without a dad. You know, my dad beat me up when I was a kid. So they really get to the point where they'd establish that trust. So for us, we are kind of growing. We're still somewhat in the novice stage. You know, the good thing about what we're doing is the program is mature. You know, it's been going on for 22 years. There are centers all around the United States that have proven this works. So I don't think I'd be doing it if we were pulling this thing out of the ground, inventing it as we go. So that's the beauty of it. Now we just need the resources. We have a couple of board spots open. So we're looking for people that have nonprofit backgrounds that can connect with us and help us really drive the long-term sustainability of the organization. Because it's about the boys, but if the organization isn't sustainable and structured and have the resources to continue to stay on mission, then, you know, we're going to disappoint the boys and we're not going to work. And so a couple of a couple of board positions that we're looking for.
What's the term for that? How long do you ask people to serve, or is that set?
Yeah, it's right now, it's interesting because the term that we're using is novice because we're, as an organization, you know, we're about 15 months into a structured board. We're looking for added people. So we're pretty creative. It's a 2 to 4 year term, but we also have a fast track term. And that is basically if somebody really has the passion, you know, a lot of people are a little leery of the long term commitment. So it's like, look, if you have the resources, the passion, the background, you have the connections or the influence within the philanthropic community, give us a year. At the end of that year, you can decide if you want to stick around or not. So come in, because we're at that point in the organization where it's time to roll up your sleeves. You know, it's not a board that just signs the financials once a month.
That's us with Treasures for Teachers, right? We've had to, I've served on the board. It's just been a little over a year. And it's this ever moving and changing landscape because of the growth and the impact and success we've had with what you know, Barbara Blalock has been building for 10 years. So I love to hear that. And I ask that question because, again, our listeners are most often professionals and looking for an opportunity to give back and serve. And you never know who's listening that might go, you know what? I may not get to give on a weekly basis because my career doesn't allow for that. I'm traveling or whatever the case is. This weekend intensive sounds great, sort of the park deals every once in a while. But boy, I come to this with marketing background or business and finance or psychology or, you know, whoever you're looking for on your board. And so I'm curious about the time commitment as well as what does that look like for them long-term or short-term. So thank you for speaking to that.
Your audience may know the term time, talent, or treasure, but that's what we're looking for. If you have the time to volunteer, great. Come volunteer, show up. If you don't have the time, but you have the treasure and you can write a check, great. Then let's do that. If you have the talent, you really can't volunteer, but you know what? You'll help with newsletters or you'll help with outreach or you'll help with a fundraising committee. Then great, then do that. So there's just some place for everybody to fit in. And it's only men are the ones that actually show up and do the work with the boys. But women are critical to what we're doing. And so as we talked about, it's a community effort. Mm-hmm. It's an organic community effort. We're ground up and it's the community. If the community shows up, then we can do what we do and we can make a difference.
Are you going to be involved in the Downtown Phoenix Incorporated Volunteer Day coming up in February?
No.
Okay, we need to hook you up. We just had them on our 3C Amplified show with Jacqueline Destrump. She's our hostess and our sponsor, Another Hand Advantage. And every year, they do this incredible volunteer day downtown Phoenix. And we'll have to get you to look it up, and I'll put you in touch with the folks. But that's where our community members, you know, again, from all over, can come and learn about various charities and nonprofits and how to get involved and volunteer.
Very good.
So that's only one of the Rolodex is spinning up here. So
I like it.
Yeah,
keep
very
going,
good.
Karen.
Well, I'm glad you came today. Thank you again for trusting your story with us and letting us help put the word out. It's really been fascinating and fantastic to get to know you.
I greatly appreciate the time and you know, hopefully get the chance to talk to your audience. And because, you know, there really is. There's people out there that go, hey, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Like you said, it makes complete sense,
yeah,
right?
People like us do things like this. I can do that.
Yeah, love it. And so one more time for our listeners, Steve Murphy with Boys to Men, Greater Phoenix. Tell us how we can get a hold of you and where to find more information and how to get involved.
So the website is boystomenphoenix.org, and that's BOYSTOMEN. When I have talks at Rotary or Kiwanis clubs, they always make the joke about the boy band. But that's spelled differently. So it's boys, T-O-men, phoenix.org. The email, you can go through the website, but the phone number is 480-206-0696. And then the intake email is boystomen.phoenix@gmail.com.
And that intake is for really what any facet of this
questions, right? It's, yeah. And, you know, we get a lot of moms. You'd be surprised how many people come through, and it's a single mom saying, you know, when my son was 13, he was great. Now he's 16 and he's smoking pot and he's losing it. You know, I need help, and we can't help them all. But you know, if they're willing, they can come out to an adventure group where they can get involved. And you know, but again, it all comes down to the resources. We have to have the funding and the men. Mm-hmm. And the women on the organizational side to keep things going.
One last question I didn't think to ask earlier. I thought of it and I never found an opportunity to ask. When we say volunteers and men, these mentors, are we talking 21 and older or what?
Yeah, I mean, 18 and older technically, but the really we're looking for, you know, college kids and up.
Yep.
The college kids, we've had some kids get involved. The challenge is they can't stick around very long. We'll take the short-term bursts of help, but we really need the people that can hang out for a year, can mm-hmm. commit to some time. But, you know, that's the beauty of the menu. You know, if you don't have a lot of time and you want to get involved, that's great. But
and the beauty of the organization that it is spreading across the country.
Absolutely.
So if you end up getting involved and you end up moving, whatever, you can obviously start up a chapter there,
right.
Or get involved with one that's already existing.
We've formed 3 years ago an organization, Boys to Men USA. So there's a parent organization that's kind of the clearinghouse. They help us with all of our safety, sexual abuse prevention stuff, all the conflict of interest. So we're very big on safety. And I'll throw one more thing out there. Everything we do is group. We do not do one-on-one. We have a rule of three. No man is ever one-on-one with a boy. These boys have been traumatized, and the last thing we're going to do is allow that to happen again. You know, not to say that we can't stop everything, but we're very conscious around that it's always a group of three. So everything we do is in a group. That takes the pressure off the men. It takes the pressure off the boys, and it just allows for more of a relaxed environment.
Absolutely. Again, thank you. I know we could keep going, but we'll save it for another time. Of course, I'd like to invite you back. I've got a couple of our other shows besides our Phoenix Business Radio house show that I'd like to invite you back on. I know people will be itching to get to know you. Again, you've been listening to a conversation with Boys to Men of Greater Phoenix with Executive Director Steve Murphy. And that website again is boys2menphoenix.org. And that's boys, B-O-Y-S-T-O. M-E-N, Phoenix spelled out, P-H, I almost said F, P-H-O-E-N-I-X.org. And again, Steve, I can't thank you enough for sharing what you're up to and really appreciate your commitment to this mission and how beautifully you serve it.
Great to have a conversation with you, Karen. I'm just excited to share all the fun we're having.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.